that speak truth.
Yeah.
Speak truth. Yeah. So you're right. Even like when I do feel this light inside me, you know, I never go and like worship myself. Like, I mean, you know, it's not like because I know that I'm experiencing this light and like I am this light, but like it's so expansive and so it's everything. It's not just me. It's everything. It's in the walls. It's the wind. It's the breath. It's every single molecule. Hello, welcome to Lunar Living.
We are two sisters sharing our journey of life and motherhood. Join us as we explore our spiritual roots, tuning in with our bodies and the pulse of nature's intelligence.
Let's get real with it as we laugh, cry, and grow through this life together. We are your co-hosts, Sarai Irie
and Jordan Ariel.
To another episode of Lunar Living.
Yeah, we are so happy to be here. We're recording this late at night, this episode, so we're in a little bit more of a
lunar influenced.
Beautiful waxing gibbous moon outside. I got to go in the hot tub with the hubby and our other sister earlier who lives here, and it was like just I was like basking in the moonlight and like she was smiling at me and I was like hey.
Yeah.
And so I'm feeling very relaxed.
Something that I found really cool was I was kind of going through like this thing with like I had been pulling cards and it was kind of like making me distraught. And I came to the conclusion that like I already knew, but it really sat in me where I was like I need not pull cards when I am in constant communion with Hashem, with God. And I said something on my Instagram stories about it, and one of my good friends sent me something out of the Old Testament. She's like very devoutly Christian, and that's awesome. And we both have this bond over our connection with God. But anyway, she sent me this thing that was like, "Do not worship the sun or the moon, for I gave them to you." And today when I looked up at the moon and I saw that gorgeous waxing gibbous, I was like, I love you. And also thank you, God, for giving us the moon as our marking of time and for its energies that it plays into the world. And I just felt like a really big, like, shift in not being like, moon, you do this and that, you know, it's an element of life, but it's not to be worshipped.
Yeah.
And yeah,
I totally agree with you 100% on that, for sure. And also, like, in addition to that, I feel like the moon does have a spirit, but I don't worship the spirit of the moon, just like how you have a spirit, but I don't worship you.
Right.
You know what? But I can look, I can see you and love your spirit and acknowledge that you have one.
Right.
And without making you my deity.
Totally, totally. And even like have conversation. Like have dialogue between us and the moon, us and the sun, and the energies that they hold. And yeah, the spirits that they are. But nothing is above the truest light and the all-knowing. And I know in previous episodes, like we've addressed astrology as like that like Avram was an astrologer before he made like this pact with God, and he was like, I'm not going to be the father of the Jewish people because it's not written in the stars, and God being like, I'm God.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's kind of actually cool too, like, because when I was going through that hard time with like readings, and I was doing them myself, but also I would be on TikTok and it would be like, 1111, this is for you. And I would be like, well, this is for me. And it would be actually an on point reading, but it would have like some dark side to it that like freaked me out. And then I remembered like that I'm in co-creation with God, and that I can literally be like, no, not for me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not in God's plans for me, actually. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but anyways, I'm really excited to talk today. So this will be airing on Tuesday. It will be the first day of Passover going into the second night. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to talk about the story of Exodus.
Yay. Yeah. Such a beautiful story and so potent with symbolism and like, you know, just stuff that's really applicable to us today.
Totally. And
so, yeah, I'm really excited to delve into this little bit too. And yeah, let's go.
The story of Exodus to me, and I know many others, but it is like a poem. And I don't mean that it's written like a poem, though in many parts it is. I haven't honestly read the story of Exodus from the Bible in like since I can remember.
I read it last year.
Nice.
Yeah. Was I in this apartment? It was in the last couple years. No, probably not last year because I had twins last year.
Right.
But, you know, that whole year is just blur. Sometimes I did something last year. And then I'm like, actually that was, you know, last year doesn't mean the year before the twins were born.
The last year you can fully remember.
Yeah. The last year that felt like time was linear.
Yeah. That's cool. Was it written in a poetic way?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure like in Hebrew, it's also, you know, more poetic or something. I mean, mm-hmm. there's like all of this like code and stuff in the Hebrew, and it can be like written and I mean read and like understood and on so many different levels, like the whole Torah, right? But I read the first five books of Moses like two times, maybe three.
That's so awesome.
Like the Torah, like the first five books in the Bible.
I'm going to be completely honest.
I haven't gotten much further than that. So,
okay. So, you know. Really well versed on this, you guys. Jordan's going to guide. I have been at Seder's every year throughout my life, Passover Seder's. Literally have not missed a Passover in my entire 27 years here.
Yeah, in our tradition, we tell this story every single year, mm-hmm. every year without fail. So
let's explain that to some of our listeners who might not be so familiar. What is Passover? What does that entail for us?
Yeah, it's the story of the Israel, really like the founding of like the Israelites, the Jewish people.
I'm Yisrael. So we all gather and we retell the story of Exodus at a dinner party, essentially. But before everyone can eat, we make them all sit down and listen. We have a fun time, and I know so many people in our tradition make it really fun and beautiful. So we sit and we tell the story and we kind of play with our food. We make symbolic foods that each show a different element of this story. It's called a Seder plate. So it includes bitter herbs that symbolize like spring, but also the bitterness of slavery. A little concoction called Haroset, which is delicious. It's like apples, nuts, and cinnamon, and it symbolizes the mortar that the slaves used to make bricks.
Right. The whole thing is about the Israelites being slaves to the Pharaoh of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
One particular Pharaoh. The one before this Pharaoh, like, was super cool. Yeah. They got along great. Everything was all hunky-dory. And then his son decided to
He actually was like, these Jewish people are getting too powerful. And so he enslaved them. And because he was like, keep this our way or whatever. So things were getting a little more mixed color around there. And so anyways, the first pharaoh was, well, the pharaoh before, not the first, but the pharaoh before him was actually really cool. And this is where like Jacob interpreted his dreams. There's a story of Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat.
Yes,
it's a great musical. Anyways, so Jacob has 7 sons. Joseph is his favorite. The other brothers get jealous. The other brothers are from different tribes of Israel. Like, there's Naphtali is one tribe. Anyways, so they get jealous of Joseph. I don't know what tribe he is. If you know, let me know. Please DM me. I love to learn. So they go and they sell him to like Egyptians as like a prisoner. And
because they were jelly.
Because they were jealous that he was his dad's favorite.
He was his dad's favorite.
Yeah. And so they come back and their dad, Jacob, goes, what happened to my favorite son, Joseph? It's very emphasized, my favorite. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't blame them for getting so hurt. But anyways, they're like, he was eaten by a wild beast, blah, blah, blah. So this whole time, Jacob thinks that his son is dead. And then many years pass. And in this time, Joseph is in prison and he gets a reputation for accurately reading people's dreams. So much so that it gets up to the Pharaoh. One of the Pharaoh's advisors is like, hey.
Pharaoh is the king of Egypt, by the way.
Right.
For anybody who doesn't know that.
Yep. So one of the Pharaoh's advisors is like, yo, there's this guy like down in the jail who's like really like reading people's dreams. He's really gifted, blah, blah, blah. And then the Pharaoh's like, damn, I've been having trippy ass dreams. So he calls him up and then he accurately reads one of his dreams, or I don't know if it was one of he accurately reads his dreams and saves all of Egypt from famine, given his advice from his dream interpretations. And so the Pharaoh's like, you're dope. You're free. You're actually going to be a nobleman now. And so Joseph somehow, I don't know how it all goes down by like the
Okay, so there was the famine, right? But Egypt was doing well because Joseph like had helped predict what was going to happen. And so Egypt was prepared for the famine that was coming.
Mm.
And so they had like their storehouses full and everything. And his family actually came to Egypt seeking help.
Oh.
And when they got there... Jacob's
like, am I dreaming? He's like, is that my favorite son, Joseph? And his favorite son was like, Father, yes, it is I, your favorite son.
And then he stuck his tongue out at his brothers.
Silly, but you know what actually is a really big lesson in Judaism is that Joseph did not do that. He immediately forgave his brothers and welcomed them all to seek refuge in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool. And you can dig into that yourself to wonder why he did that. There are a lot of spiritual takeaways from it. So this happens. All the Jewish people now come to Egypt to seek refuge. And all the Jewish people are Jacob and his family at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish people grow mighty in Egypt. And then so this happens, they become enslaved. And it's all part of the story. So to go back to what we're talking about, the story of Passover is the story of redemption, about how we were freed from the shackles of slavery and eventually brought to the promised land.
It was brutal slavery too. Like, it was really gnarly. They were.
Yeah. And if you've seen like the Prince of Egypt, it's like kind of plays it out, but yeah, there's like whips and like it's extreme degradation.
They had to like build the cities like morning till night. They didn't have time to like, you know, be spiritual or whatever, or have like really lives of their own. And then Pharaoh's magicians tell him a prophecy that a Jewish baby boy is going to rise up and free the slaves and like bring like destruction on their people. And
while the Jewish people are enslaved. While
the Jewish people were enslaved. And so Pharaoh commanded that every baby boy who was born be thrown in the Nile River. So he like drowned all the babies of the Jewish people.
Damn, actually super heartbreaking. That's like very, very heart wrenching as a mother to a baby boy. But also just in general. And quick plug, like, watch The Prince of Egypt. It pretty accurately depicts. It's an animated DreamWorks movie,
and it's a musical. Like, it's basically like a Disney movie, but it's not Disney, it's DreamWorks. It's really good. Yeah, it's really Disney well
was
done racist.
Just kidding. He was an anti-Semite. I think that's widely known. Okay, but anyways, not to be spiteful right now. So then what happens is that Moses's mother Yochved has Moses, and she puts him in a basket, in a woven basket, and puts him into the Nile River. And he floats in the river into the courtyard of the palace. And the Pharaoh's daughter finds him. And then there's speculation around this that, like, she had recently had, like, a miscarriage or something. So she was like, this is a gift from the gods. Mm-hmm. This baby floated to me in the river after what I've just been through. Mm-hmm. And so she takes the baby as her own. Mm-hmm. And Moses is Jewish, raised as Egyptian royalty.
Yeah, so Moses is raised by Pharaoh's daughter as her own. And he's given all the comforts of royalty, and for some reason he just is, you know, feeling unhappy. He feels like despair, especially like he's seeing the plight of the Jewish people, and it hurts him, and he doesn't really know why. And he ends up discovering that he's actually Jewish, and that he ends up reconnecting with his sister and his family, his sister Miriam, who is a key player in this story as it unfolds. And actually, she also helped make sure that he made it safely. And she arranged for a lot of cool stuff. She's an awesome, awesome woman.
Kind of like how us women tend to do, by like weaving in that sense of safety, home, comfort, divinity. It's like not always the lead role, but a role that makes the story possible. So like in life, you know, being a homemaker isn't often like the starring, shining role, maybe in your husband's eyes, you know, but like even if like you're not acknowledged as such, like it's very like almost the most important role. So Moses leaves Egypt because he like can't handle it. He feels like so unhappy, and he goes off and lives rurally and marries. He has a wife, Zipporah. And supposedly Moses has like a stutter, and he's not very like good at like speaking like mm-hmm. kind of has like a little bit of like a nervous energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like awkward and, you know, yeah, and he has a stutter. And one day he becomes a shepherd, and he comes upon a burning bush. And the leaves are not burnt up or anything. It's just like a fully living bush that is on fire. And then he hears a voice that tells him to take off his shoes because he's standing on holy ground. So he does it. He takes off his shoes, stands there. The voice is the voice of God.
And the voice says, "Go down, Moses."
Way down in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. So actually that song, we sing it in our Seder, acknowledging that it comes from, you know, the African slaves here in America. They, you know, were learning the Bible and they read this story and they were like inspired by it. I mean, they called Harriet Tubman Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And that song is a slave song. So, you know, it's just like,
yeah,
like, you know,
this thread in humanity that's like, though each year we acknowledge this and our freedom from Exodus, I started off the podcast by saying it's like very poetic, like, because I mean, there are still a lot of people who are enslaved in this world today.
Mm-hmm.
And also daily, we each are constantly like going through this, like this internal slavery. Mm-hmm. To what many would be like the ego, or maybe even just like dark energies and stuff. And then we find this light inside of us, this light of God, and we are redeemed. And so the healing path is not easy, and it's not like, oh, it's light. It's yay, it's light. It's like, yes, that light is a beautiful, beautiful feeling and beautiful knowingness. And also, freedom is so challenging at times, and it feels harder sometimes than being enslaved.
Yeah.
Enslaved to your thoughts, enslaved to your ways of thinking and being. And it takes great courage to break out of this.
Yeah. And it totally really, I mean, it relates so much to the story. I mean, it's like we were talking about how it can be understood on so many levels. Like, long story short, Moses does go to Pharaoh. He asks for, you know, his people to be free, and Pharaoh says no, and he says no again and again. And so,
also, quick note, with the help of his brother Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Who helped him to speak.
Yeah, he does not have a stutter. Also, shouts out siblinghood.
Yeah, right.
Whether you're blood related or not. But, like, I mm-hmm. love my siblings, and we do this for each other in different ways.
Yeah, it's true. So, yeah, Moses' brother and sister play a huge role. But, yeah.
Like, Miriam, namely, does is, like, she gets the Jewish people, like, looking at hope. Like, she gets the Jewish people out of despair and being like, hey, she's ringing her tambourine. She's like, there's hope. There's hope. And they're like, nah, nah, this is how it is. And right. She's like, we're bigger than this.
You know? So after, like, Pharaoh says no, like, a bunch of plagues end up coming down on the Egyptians for, like, not releasing the slaves. And eventually it gets really bad. The plagues are really bad. I don't even want to go into it right now. The plagues are effed up, like, toward the end. I mean, but it's also like retribution, which, I mean, you know, well, it's the Bible, dude. So for like the them throwing the baby boys in the river.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And then they end up, God parts the Red Sea, and Miriam's the one, like you were saying, who leads. The Jewish people are, like, terrified. The Israelites are terrified of, you know, crossing the sea to mm-hmm. get to freedom. And they're like, we don't even know if we want freedom. Like when yeah. we were slaves, we didn't have to, you know, think for ourselves as much. Like we didn't have to, you know, yeah, this is like so scary. Big. This is so the unknown. At least we knew what to expect there. Like so many people were just like, let's go back. Let's go back to slavery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it happened for like a long time after
yeah.
they left too. There were a lot of people who were like, life was better when we were slaves than when we were free.
Yeah, but that's also like the healing journey too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I was better off in this traumatizing relationship that I knew what to expect. But now I'm out here living life, going through things, rewiring my brain, changing my outlook, doing the hard work. And it's like, fuck, this work that I'm doing on myself internally and externally is harder than just sitting there and accepting that I need to eat dog shit every night. Because at least then I didn't have to think about it. I just did it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, yeah, yes, you might be like, oh, I want to be a slave again. But it's like, really, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Really, do you? You know?
Yeah.
Like, no, no, you don't. You're just complaining right now and you're letting the little meanie in your head take over. You know, you're letting the voice of evil take over, to be honest. Like, not take over, but like, that's not really the truth speaking out of you, because that's not, like, we all do want freedom. And like, through these trials and through these pains, like, something that's really useful to hold on to, that maybe these people weren't as strengthened in this knowing of this truth, is that in those hard times, you can find beauty and you can find joy, for you know that it is taking you somewhere better. So when you're in a really dark place, when you're crying, when you feel so low, when you feel so broken and lost, after we escaped from Egypt, we were lost for 40 years in the deserts of the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Wandering.
Like, wandering.
And really, it wasn't that far. That's the thing. Like,
bro, it was, this is so poetic.
Yeah, it was. We were right there the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, God was waiting for the right timing. And so we had to wander and live in temporary dwellings during that time and not have a home and not have stability, because we needed to enter our land, like, at the right time.
Think the also promised land. Though it's like that we had to be like strengthened to like know how, like in the way that like we're creating our little micro homesteads so that one day we can have our farms.
I think that's definitely part of it. Yes. And also another thing that I've heard, I'm not sure if it's actually written in the book or if this is like interpretation, but that it took 40 years for like the older people, like the oldest generation to die out. So like the people who remembered slavery, like the most, so that like there would be like renewal and more yeah. open-hearted like people to enter the land, who were like ready to like, they had their own identity.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't like distrusting and stuff. Yeah.
Like it was, they needed more separation from that slavery before they were ready to like be their own nation.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Something I also love about like Jewish culture too is about how like conversation and debate is welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love having these conversations on like our takes on it. I was listening to another podcast earlier with three Jewish people from totally different backgrounds. They're like academia folks for the most part. And they were talking about their takes on it. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. You know, and it's not what I would have thought, but it did spark some different like ideas for me. Like I just love the idea of questioning mm-hmm. things and looking deeper into things and reflecting off of our own heart and our own experience. What does this mean? And that's really what I think that God intends for us, is to hear these stories and know these stories and to know for ourselves the truths that come from them. Mm-hmm. Like everybody's perception, it's going to mean something different to each person. And it's going to mean something different to me, you know, in a year from now than it does today.
Yeah.
Maybe not too different, but like we're always changing. And so that's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, after the Jewish people are freed from bondage, they're still like, they're lost. And so it's like physically, but also like in a way, like they're finding their connection again to Hashem, to God, to the true one, the true oneness, mm-hmm. the infinite thread of light that goes through all living things, you know, mm-hmm. their perceptions had to be like recalibrated.
Yeah.
And to find their Judaism again.
Yeah. And that was like the foundation of
true,
like,
Judaism. Yeah. Oh, well, after they like, okay, so Moses goes to Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments, and then he comes back and they're all worshiping a golden calf, which is like an idol, which is not God. But at this time, there's no written Jewish like religion or things to follow. They're just getting the Ten Commandments, like mm-hmm. right now. And so Moses comes down and sees them worshiping an idol, and he drops the tablets and immediately
he smashes them. He purposely smashes them.
Why?
So, okay.
What?
So it does.
I thought he dropped them like, oh, we accidentally already broke the commandments.
So there's a lot of interpretation there as well. But one that I heard recently, actually, is that he smashed the tablets on purpose, like to advocate for the Jewish people to God, like to not.
He was like, you're going to get fixated on these words or what?
He was like, I'm not going to do this if you don't forgive my people. Like, I'm not going to be your like prophet. I'm not going to be like your leader. I'm the person that you want me to be if you don't like forgive these people.
Wow.
But also, like, I don't know.
That's crazy. Because I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot in the Bible, and this is why it's like, man, I haven't even really read it. And when I did, I was like, okay, well, if this is God's word and I am in constant like communion with God, then what I think and what makes me feel like ick about certain things, I should feel that way about, because like my feelings are kind of my communion in a way. And so I'm like, I interpret things like in my own way, and I don't follow what Rabbi ABCDEFG said about it because that was their interpretation of it, and this is my interpretation of it, you know. And mm-hmm. so like that's how I live my life. But also I haven't really read it like this, but I'm like, the idea of like God being so vengeful of like a mistake, it doesn't, like, to me, I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, eternal love and light is like my child. Yeah. You are missing the mark. In mm-hmm. Hebrew, sin means, it literally, refers to archery as like missing the bullseye.
Mm.
So it's like you're missing the mark, but like, I don't think that there's any punishment. I think that the punishment is, it's a symptom, and it's why the world is the way that it is, because we're constantly sinning, quote, like we're constantly missing the mark by not being in love, by not being in unity, by not doing the most righteous thing, by not doing the most benevolent thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we keep missing the mark. And so the world is all like fractured in all of these places. And there's all of these illnesses, because we're not in alignment as humanity with God's divine will. And so God gave us free will. And so we decide to do something that's not in the highest alignment, he's going to respect our free will. This is law, you know? And so our free will is giving us these results. And that's why there's all this suffering going on. And that's why anyone who feels called to the light, who feels called to live a benevolent lifestyle, to live in alignment with the highest good, should. Like, whether you're Jewish or not. And that's why I believe, and this might be really fringe, but that's why I believe anyone who feels called to walk this path is like a child of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that is the duty. And that's why the Jewish people are given this. It's almost like written in your soul contract. Like, New Agers will say, oh, you have a soul contract before you come here. And I feel like when you come as a Jew, it's like written in your soul contract too. Like, you must live in alignment with divine light and share that with the world and spread that light. And a lot of people who aren't born on Jewish, it's in their soul contract too. And they know that deep in their heart too.
But I know I also, like, I've met so many Jewish people who were not like that.
Right. Yeah,
like actually, who are not at all shining any effing light. Like,
yeah. So I'm seriously projecting for sure.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's what we're supposed to do, but it's not what everybody is doing.
Exactly. And that's why the world is the way that it is.
Yeah.
It's almost like there are two opposing, like it's actually, no, it's not two opposing forces. It's like when you do something, like, there's always going to be a result. So if you water a plant, then it's going to grow. If you eat food, you're going to not starve. If you exercise, you're going to get stronger. If you live by the Ten Commandments, then you are living in that highest alignment, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people who follow, like, Abrahamic, like, religion, that the Ten Commandments are, like, law, then yeah, you know? And also, it's like, if you read that really, it's like, yeah, these are all, like, definite, like, truth. Like, pretty much just be good, do good. Be good whenever you can. Honor life. Honor God. And there's so much in the world of, like, trying to figure it outness, like, all this figure outiness. It's like I think it's cool and stuff, like, to learn and everything, but also, like, at the same time, like, you're never gonna figure it out. You're here to dance in light and be light and do good things. And when you have the choice of bring your neighbor cookies or not, bring your neighbor cookies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I should have brought my neighbor cookies. I'm like, because I'm not actually.
You still can.
Yeah. And now I will. And I'm going to trust that it's in the most divine timing, because that is what being in light is. And also, like, the next time I have a thought, do something nice or not do it. Do something nice. Just do it, you know? And this is how we heal. And sometimes it's not all about going inside and focusing on all of the things we've been through and all the suffering that we've been victimized to and stuff. Sometimes it's like you, like, bring the outward in. Like, you, like, you know, get dressed pretty to feel good in your heart. And sometimes you bring your neighbor cookies because you want people to stop dying around the world. And it's little acts like this that add, and it adds up. And there's no, if we have the privilege to be able to literally not focus on survival, and we have the privilege to be kind and virtuous, we must.
Mm. Yes. That's what freedom is all about, right? And, like, making the choices that are less comfortable because it's a better choice. And being free, you can't blame your actions on someone else. Mm-hmm. You can't blame them on your master. You right. are your own master.
Oh, I just got such chills. This symptom of slavery will stop showing up when we stop being enslaved. Each and every one of us, even us who have this beautiful life, like, I know that I do it. that I enslave myself by my feelings of lack, by my beliefs of lack, by my feeling that there's something dark that deserves to be punished inside of me. Ugh, having this conversation is difficult. Even my throat's getting like choked up because it's hard. It's hard to face and it's hard to reckon with and it's hard to fucking take responsibility. And this is how we heal the world. We don't heal it by pointing fingers.
Yeah.
And so the story of Exodus is, as I always say, I say it's a poem and I don't mean it in the way that it's written like a sonnet. I say it in like there's a message here and it's more than what's on the surface and it's more than what's on the second layer. It's something deep. There's this thread running through it that's like a very important message. And the message is free yourself. We are all children of God. We are all children of light.
Also, it's a big focus in there is like that they want to be free to worship God.
Mm.
So it's interesting because it's almost like they go from one servitude to another, but the servitude that they enter is the great oneness of all and is, you know, is looking out for their highest good and the highest good of everyone.
Mm. If you are looking out for your highest good, your true highest good, it is for everyone's highest good.
Yeah. And, you know, and like I feel like sometimes I need to emancipate myself, you know, in the wise words of Bob Marley, like emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. But it's, and this is not my original idea, obviously, but we all have a pharaoh.
A taskmaster.
We have a taskmaster and a pharaoh and a, you know, like.
Judge.
Yeah. Inside of us that is, you know, an element of like a not good element of our ego that is like making us be enslaved. When I ask God for help, I am granted the ability to like part seas within myself.
Yes.
You know, like the sea is parted for me and I'm able to go to serve God too. And that's the thing, like, yes, like I am a surrendered person. I'm a surrendered woman. I have surrendered to the divine because I trust and because I know and because honestly, like, so there is like that element of like, am I really free though? And yes, I am, because I am not a slave. I am choosing to be of service. And every day, multiple times a day, I choose to be of service to the highest good. Multiple times a day, I'm like, you know, please just like, or I'm thanking. I'm like, thank you for like letting everything be working out for the highest good for every life I touch.
And so
like, let me be a beacon of light. Let me be a vessel so that I can serve you, so that I can serve your world, so that I can, you know, and when I'm of service that way, I feel so free and I feel so good and I feel so aligned. And I, you know, like, you know, Pharaoh Schmero, like it's
right,
you know, and I feel powerful. I feel powerful.
Yeah.
Even though like I'm surrendering to a higher power, and that's in, it's in yoga too. It's like the main, I think it's the most important yoga sutra. It's Ishvara Pranidhana and it means surrender to a higher power. So yoga, it's saying like whatever your higher power is, because yoga is not a religion. It's non-denominational, but yeah, like there's that element across multiple, you know, it's there too. And I learn a lot from yoga, but it's so like, you know,
I have friends who are literally saved by Jesus. Like, I love it. Surrender to higher power and then you find your power, you know. So Yeah, and really what is like you could say, oh, the pharaoh was in power, but like what, it's just an illusion. You know, true power isn't like control. True power is like being empowered by something bigger that is even letting you be alive in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Like that you are a part of.
Yeah.
I love everything that you just said. And I feel that too, because it's reminded me that we speak our lives into existence, into this truth. And you saying, I am free. And, you know, the thing about being alive, I think, is that it is constant. It is like, you know, and you get stronger at being in alignment and at being free. But like, you can never give up prayer. You can never have prayed so much that you no longer need to pray. Like, it's always, it's a constant dance that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've definitely strayed away from prayer when I felt like everything was going great, you know, and I'm like, oh, just living a good life now. And I just, right. you know, I'm just being happy and enjoying my life, and I grow distant.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get, you know, whacked upside the head with some life.
Then symptoms show like, up again.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, I'm like, what's going on with me and my husband? We like, somehow over, I guess, a few weeks are just like not connected. And I'm like, oh, I fell out of this dance and have been laying around in the comfort of my marriage instead of dancing with it and romancing it and praying. And, you know, when like an obstacle comes, me being like, how fun can I make this instead, you know, taking a more negative look where you're like, erg, this is in my way, you know, and it's like, what feels better? Like, what is the most benevolent? Like, what is for the highest good always? So it's like in these times, we can always, we always have the option to ask. You know, some people may be more comfortable with asking their subconscious. Some people are more comfortable with asking God. You know, I feel like the subconscious mind is how God gets through oftentimes when, you know, the conscious mind is very programmed to life around us.
Maybe, but I feel like also like you can't worship your subconscious mind. Your subconscious right. mind is like made up of programming from like
your childhood
and so many different things. I feel like, I mean, you know, everybody's right. got to be on whatever journey they're on. I'm not like, you know, I'm not judging. I'm just like, yeah.
But speak truth.
Yeah.
Speak truth.
Yeah.
So you're right. Even like when I do feel this light inside me, you know, I never go and like worship myself. Like, I mean, you know, it's not like, because I know that I'm experiencing this light and like I am this light, but like it's so expansive and so it's everything. It's not just me, it's everything. It's in the, it's the walls, it's the wind, it's the breath, it's every single molecule.
I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for this conversation. I'm so grateful for, you know, those of you who are listening right now who have stuck through, like, you know, our episodes. And thank you for enjoying our content. Thank you for enjoying our content. I'm like, that sounds so, you know.
Content is art.
Yeah. Well, it's our, yeah, it's the content. Thank you for enjoying the contents of our heart and souls.
Yeah. Like, here's our content that we've, like, yeah. we literally come on here to just talk and share and, like, be of service.
Yeah. And, like, if you're here, like, thanks for just, like, hanging out with us, because it's, we're just shooting the shenanigans.
Yeah. We love here. You, friend.
Yeah. And, you know, if you are following us on social media, or if we know you in real life, and, you know, text us or message us or come on over and, you know, say hi and like, let's, you know, talk. about it, because
yeah,
I just like, I want to hear what you guys have to say. I'm sure that there are some listeners out there who know more about this stuff than we do. And mm-hmm. also, you know, maybe you just have some awesome wisdom coming through.
Right, dude. And honestly,
or if you have questions or
yeah, like whatever. What does this bring up for you? And also I have to say, if you do know more about this than us, come on. Like, come on. Oh, let's yeah. have you on an episode.
Hit us up. Hit us up. We would love to have you as a guest if you're, you know, knowledgeable about something or just have some heart to share. Let us know.
And what really my soul, my soul wants to ask anyone hearing this right now is, what did this bring up for you? And how can I integrate anything useful to me into my life to bring more freedom into my experience and into the rest of the world? And this is the story of Exodus. Go listen to the Bob Marley album.
Watch The Prince of Egypt.
And I hope that anyone celebrating Passover over the next seven days, that it is so meaningful. And we left out that on Passover, you can't eat anything leavened. It's a whole nother subject. I'll just say that and you can interpret it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. We don't
matzo like only, bitch.
Bread no, or cake or anything like that. And I heard an interpretation that's about like removing the fluff from life. Like, or that's like one little way you can think of it. Yeah. Like, you know, an inflated egos and things like that. So interesting little tidbit.
Yeah. We're going to close this up.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Happy Passover and
happy spring. Happy Nisan. Spring. Happy, what zodiac are we going into? I know that Aries is ending. RIP.
Well, in the Jewish calendar, it's not.
Oh, okay. Because Aries we're still full-fledged bitches.
Yeah, we're heading into Aries full moon. According to like Jewish calendar.
Love that. It's going to be a full moon on Passover, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Judaism's cool, guys. Love you guys.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
And be well.